The following podcast is part of the MindBodySpirit.fm podcast network.
Discover hope and healing from the other side. Welcome to Messages of Hope with Suzanne Giesman.
Listen, they're all around you, close as a thought or a memory.
Messages of
Hello, everybody. Welcome back for another episode. I know this episode is going to touch your heart. My guest has the most beautiful energy. We've been having a chat and I had to stop myself from asking her questions because I just wanted to talk about so much, but I want you to hear it too. So we're coming live. If you're joining us now, welcome. If you're seeing us later, I know you'll get a lot out of this program. My guest is Kelly Buckley. She is an author. She's a shining light mom, which means she has a child across the veil. And an inspiration. The topic today is gratitude and resilience and turning points. I'm going to let Kelly talk about those and introduce herself to you as I bring her in now. Kelly, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so happy to be here and chat with you about this today.
Yeah, I mean, you were on the program back when we weren't doing video as well. It was just audio when I was with Unity Online Radio and they disbanded the station. So you and I had a chat and we just thought it would be great to have you back again and do it with the video and the audio. And you have a new book since we spoke last. So I'm really happy to have this opportunity to share you with our community as well. Before we get started, I have to comment on the fact that you were raised in Newfoundland.
I was.
Yeah, and having sailed there in my sailboat, I know that we say Newfoundland, but there they say Newfoundland, right?
Yes. Yeah. Very, very good.
And for those of you who are geographically challenged, that's way up north in Canada. It's an island in the ocean, but it's also a province with Labrador, which is not an island. Were you actually on Newfoundland Island itself?
Yes. So I grew up in the central part of Newfoundland in a town, Grand Falls, Windsor. Just I loved growing up there. I think a lot of my feelings about resilience are related to where I grew up.
I was going to say, you have to be hardy to grow up there.
Very much so. Yeah. It's cold, but the people keep you warm.
Oh, sweet. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I read a book when the world came to town after 9/11, so many of the planes landed in Gander, Newfoundland, and everybody was stunned how open and loving and friendly the Newfoundlanders were. And so
yes,
that explains a lot right off the bat. So you are here, unfortunately, as a guest because of a major turning point in your life. Would you first describe what turning points are in your definition? And what yours was that brought you here?
I think we all have those forks in the road where life presents us with choices. And, I feel like at many points in my life, I've been presented with choices. I had Stephen when I was very young, and he was an identical twin. My son, Matthew, he did not survive. And so that was my first turning point. So at the beginning of Stephen's life, it was truly my first lesson about the balance of happy and sad. And as I watched Stephen grow up, I always kind of, wondered his connection with his brother. You always hear that about twins. So I would say that was probably one of the biggest turning points in my life. But then at the age of 23, Stephen passed away very suddenly. And I was again faced with that fork in the road of how do I do this? And I remember sitting on the shoreline at the lake, I was waiting for the divers.
You missed the part. You didn't mention that he drowned.
Right. He did. So he was swimming with friends. It was on the 4th of July. And he had taken a hit at hockey, a puck to the chest. And that morning he had expressed to his friends that he had some pain in his chest because he was very athletic and he had gone for, I think, a 10K run that morning.
Oh, wow.
And so they went to the lake for the fourth and, you know, we feel like he had some sort of medical emergency that subsequently caused him to drown. But he was, you know, it was just so unexpected. He was just one of those people who seemed invincible, I guess. Yeah. So that morning, as I was waiting for the divers to actually come back, I was sitting on the shoreline and I, was negotiating with God. Why would I think that that was going to work out for me? I don't know, but I was.
Well, I think it's a very natural response.
Yes, yeah. So I was having this huge conversation, and I always call it a gentle whisper in my ear that, for whatever reason, I knew that I had to start looking for gratitude for blessings. To the point that, I started writing about those blessings in the parking lot of the funeral home on the back of my cable bill. Oh. And one of the things, for example, just...
Do you remember what the first thing you wrote was, the very first blessing on the back of that cable bill?
The very first one was, I was thankful for his friends because they were at an age where it would have been easier for them to leave. And they stayed with us. Mm. They did not leave our side. And their parents came. The second thing was one of the moms hugged me and she hugged just like my mother. You know, those hugs where you feel like they're going to squeeze the guts right out of you, right?
Yeah.
just it was this hug and it felt like my mom had sent me a hug from heaven when I needed it most. Third thing, I was thankful for the divers because not everybody gets to bring their child home. So when I look back at that now, that seemed very logical to me to be thankful for those things. And I'm so grateful that I listened to that whisper because my life could have went in a completely different direction at that moment.
Well, and I'm sure you went down that abyss of grief, but mm-hmm. were you able to maintain the finding gratitude moments?
Well, I made it an intentional practice every day. So it didn't mean I wasn't in pain. It didn't mean that I could solve all the things that seemed, the loss. I couldn't fix it. But it did tether me, I guess, is a great way to describe it. I felt like I could go on another day. And because I wrote about it and I documented it on a really hard day when the only thing I could find to be thankful for was that my broken heart continued to beat, I could look back on the other days and say, okay, so if I made it through that day, I can make it through this one.
But you know, a lot of people, and I deal with a lot of people in grief as a medium, wish their heart would not continue to beat. So I find that beautiful that you were grateful for that.
I mean, you know, there's, as a parent, I think, you know, as you know, you wonder at how you're going to go on. I think that I was thankful mostly for that because I had a younger son who deserved a happy life. So I was working very hard to try to give that to him.
Beautiful. I remember talking with my friend and the vice president of Helping Parents Heal, Irene Vouvalides, about your work and your just one little thing, program or process. I'm not quite sure what to call it. And you'll tell me in a minute, but she told me her favorite thing that really struck in her mind. And she just texted me before the program started to remind me. I didn't even ask her, but what struck out for her is grateful for the sunglasses that covered my swollen eyes from crying. That was your phrase. She remembered reading it in your book. You have this, that's why I glanced over to the side here, this great book, Just One Little Thing, a book, mm-hmm. but also a tool, a practice. That's what it is. And that one day, the only thing you could find to be grateful for was the sunglasses that covered your swollen eyes. What is it that moment of gratitude does for people?
Well, I think when you are looking around your life and you're saying, well, what am I thankful for today? You have no choice but to be in the present moment. You're thinking about, where am I now? What blessings are around me? You're kind of doing that assessment. And so for me, staying in that present moment, I wasn't thinking about any regrets that I may have had for the past. I wasn't worrying about the unknowns of the future. I was right here, right now, and I was okay.
That's it. And it's what we just don't realize is that when we're suffering, we're going somewhere besides right now. We think our now is so awful, but it's really bringing the past into our now and the future into our now that makes us unhappy.
That's very true.
Yeah. Wow. So just one little thing. Tell us about the book and then the movement you started.
So I wrote, my first book was Gratitude and Grief, which was just based on the first 3 months. And that was more of a, I don't know, I can't explain that. It was like an outpouring of something. I just felt like, you know, that I was transcribing something that I wasn't really writing on my own. I felt like I needed to capture the full year. And that was just one little thing. If you look at the cover of that book, in Gratitude and Grief, it's like a darker cover of a lake. And Gratitude and Grief is Jordan Lake. And so is Just One Little Thing. That's the shoreline of Jordan Lake.
Where your son passed.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I wanted that to be reflected there. But in Gratitude and Grief, it's the cover is darker. It's a little dusky and sad. And Just One Little Thing, the sun, it has come back out. And the beautiful blue sky has returned.
Yeah, and it's a blowing breeze, the curtain, and you have, of course, the symbol of transformation, the butterfly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Butterflies are very important to me. Yeah.
What do readers get from that book?
Well, I think, and what I hope they get is that I've honestly described my personal experience. I don't feel I've sugarcoated anything. But I give them an opportunity to look at how they can journey through grief a little differently. And just to kind of not deny what's happening.
That's so important. Yeah.
Not deny it at all, but instead say, I am devastated. I am shattered. But I have a good friend who shows up every single day, either a text or a phone call or a meal or something. Mm. You know, I wake up today, I didn't feel like getting out of bed. And my husband stepped in and took care of everything. And so I had a very down day, but he had my back. So it's not that I didn't suffer through things. And that's what I want people to understand. That's part of it. You can't change that. But you can reframe it so that you can keep going.
Yeah. And the gratitude is what does that. It's an amazing tool, and it's what brings us to instant coherence energetically. If you want to connect with those who have lost, I tell everybody the very first thing you do is bring to mind something you're grateful for, and you just suddenly you're centered and balanced. So you have an amazingly large following on Facebook.
I do. Yeah. They're from, I think there's over 50 countries represented in Jolt now. I call it Jolt, Just One Little Thing, Jolt for short. Mm-hmm. And the people who are members are called Jolters, my yeah. Jolt family. And I do consider them to be family. They've just kind of organically shown up, and it's thrilling for me. Like last week, we posted a question. I can't remember what it was now. And there's people, two ladies from two different countries who are chatting back and forth in the comments, and they're comforting each other because they had a similar experience. Yeah. It's been a great gift to see that we're not alone, that we're walking together through it.
And it's not just people who pass that you're helping, because you say this in both of your books, these turning points can also be loss of other kinds, right? Loss of a job, loss of a marriage, a relationship.
Right. And I think one of the things that I've learned as being part of this bereavement conversation is that sometimes we can separate ourselves from other people who really want to comfort us, but don't feel like they have that similar background or experience as we have, so that they're afraid to approach us.
Oh, that's so true.
And especially for a bereaved parent, it can be really difficult for people to come up. And I understand it. It can be difficult for people to come up and say, I'm so sorry, I don't have any words. Because there are no
words,
right?
They don't know what to say.
Yeah. Right. And so sometimes you find people that will actually just kind of move away from you because they have that discomfort. And so what I try to do is to show people the relationship between other losses and, you know, and maybe what they're going through, and say, so for an example, and I know that this may be jarring to some people, but I'm going to tell the story anyway, because I learned so much from this man. So I was getting my photos taken one day, and we were walking around St. John's, actually in Newfoundland.
Newfoundland, yeah.
And he had me up on Signal Hill. I was so cold. And we were, you know, he was asking me about my work. He didn't really know too much about me. And so I explained that, you know, I was a writer, and that this was what I was writing about, and about my son, Stephen. And he paused and he was quiet. And I said, oh no, I've just derailed this guy, and he's not going to be able to talk to me now for the rest of this shoot. And he looked at me and he said, yeah, my dog died about 3 months ago. And initially my response was, I kind of took a breath in and said, okay, your dog died and I'm talking about Stephen, and, you know, and then I paused and I said, Kelly, he's trying to connect with you.
There you go.
And that's the only kind of parallel that he could find. And I said, tell me about your dog.
Oh my gosh.
And he didn't have children, and his dog was his child, and he loved that dog. And we talked about that dog for about 10 minutes. And then we talked about Stephen, and we connected because I didn't walk into it, or I paused long enough to not say my grief is bigger than your grief.
Wow.
Because that's how we separate ourselves from each other. We can't help each other if we're separate.
That is beautiful. Finding that connection point instead of, see what you did there. I call God source joy. And you had what I call a joyous moment. A joyous moment is we are all joy. It's about us. It's not what you said, my grief is bigger than yours, or my problem's bigger than yours. We're all in this together. We all suffer no matter what it is. And you found that connection. What a beautiful story. Thank you for that. So your other book is new, and I just love it, The Path, A Journal from Pain to Purpose.
Yes.
Tell us about this. Tell me about what brought it about and what you want people to know about it.
So based on my writing, I, you know, just one little thing, the book and the Facebook group, I had heard from so many people who were working through their own grief journeys and who wanted to find a way through, but they couldn't really figure out, well, journaling's not for me. And so I wanted to develop something that was very much aligned with my approach to grief, so that we confronted those very real, painful parts of loss, but that I also integrated in the just one little thing. What are you grateful for? Even though this day is difficult, what little thing can you find? And so at the end of each prompt, there's always a little space that you can record a little blessing. So when you look back and you read through that very tough, you know, journal entry that you made, you can also see that you found some little blessings that you could still hold on to.
So what you're doing is you're training the people as they're going through the journal to do what you did, to be conscious in their journey.
Yes. Yeah. And even like that whole thing that I talked to you about the happy, sad balance, the darkness to light. If you look through the journal, like from on every page where there's an illustration, the bottom part of the photograph is black and white, and then it gradually moves to color. Because I want people to see that right now you may be entering into this, or you may be starting this entry, and you may feel like you're in a very black and white, dark world, but that color is going to come back. And so I want it to reflect that in every single page.
Wow, I hadn't noticed. That's pretty brilliant. What I love about this is, you know, a lot of people have journals and you just expect an empty book. And you open it and it has beautiful pictures, little sayings. I know that a lot of people, when they're going through challenging times, have trouble focusing and reading a whole book. And this is just little things. Hello, God, it's me. Let me see what else I just opened up to. Flickers of light. Woulda, coulda, shoulda. Beautiful photos, some quotes. And then there's a space for writing. Mm-hmm. So it's not all just, what do I write today? You give them the prompts. It's brilliant.
Well, thank you. I think one of the strongest exercises in there for me on my own personal journey was letter writing. Writing to Stephen, what would Stephen say back to me? Writing to God or Source, what would God or Source say back to me?
I'd like to just add here from personal experience and my teaching that you're not just making it up once you start doing that. They are inspiring you as the words come through.
That's right. Yeah. And I can tell you from my personal experience with that that's exactly what it felt like. When I read that letter back, I felt like that was from Stephen. When I read that letter back from God, I felt like that was from God. It was incredibly healing. I cried buckets of tears when I did it, but after it was finished, there was a lightness that I felt that I hadn't felt in a long time.
And speaking of feeling lighter, in our talk before we came on the air today, you told me, and it surprised me, that you re-listened to the reading I gave you quite a few years ago, because I don't even remember. Tell me if I'm wrong. I seem to remember you were very skeptical and didn't want a reading at first. Is that right? Was that you?
Yeah, I was a little hesitant. It just really wasn't something that I had a lot of experience with. And, you know, and you know this, I've heard you talk about this, that you hear, you know, good and bad. And this was my first, I had read about you and heard wonderful things about you, but I was a little afraid.
What do you mean by you hear good and bad about what?
Well, about other, you know, some other practitioners who
there are good experiences and bad experiences.
Exactly.
But
it turned out to be the most beautiful, beautiful chat with you.
And Stephen.
And Stephen and my parents. And you described my mother perfectly.
Hi, Mom.
She had her hands on her hips, which was her signature move. And and you said, "Oh, she's Betty Crocker." And I was that's exactly who she was. And she was, her whole being was to be a mother. I mean, you just described her to a T. I can't even explain it to you. And listening to it today before we chatted again, it just put me in such a wonderful place.
Yeah. Nice. And unfortunately, I'm not taking new clients. So I'm not doing this to toot my own horn. I'm doing this so that everybody watching and listening just knows this is real and why mediumship is so healing. It's a visit. It's a family reunion. And it's evidence that they're still with us, which is beautiful. If you are looking for a good medium, the providers list on Helping Parents Heal has tested mediums that on there. They go through a rigorous testing process. That's one way. Word of mouth is another way. So resilience. Let's talk about that. We talked a lot about gratitude. What about people that didn't grow up in Newfoundland? Is that something we're born with, or is it something we can gain? Why don't you define resilience first?
I mean, I just think it's that, I actually think it's the unchanging core that is within you. And sometimes you can lose sight of it, but it is always there. It is who you are at your very core, at a soul level.
Yeah. That's that innate strength and courage that comes with you as a soul. We all have it. I just opened a book randomly before we started, and I opened right up to a quote that speaks right to this. It says, "I know God will not give me anything I can't handle. I just wish that he didn't trust me so much." That's Mother Teresa. Mother Teresa. So those of us who go through really great challenges, we just know that trust that our souls will come to the fore, step to the forefront, and just express their innate strength and courage, resilience.
And I think that one of the things with resilience is that, you know, you have that inner shining light, right? And that's unchangeable. It's always there. That's right.
Shine on.
But we go through life, we get a job, and we're worried about our bills, and we're worried about this, and then there's an argument with this person, and all that stuff kind of piles on us, you know, that life stuff.
Yeah.
And we lose sight of that inner light.
That's right.
And that resilience for me, that I realized that unchangeable inner piece of me when I was broken open, when Stephen died. So sometimes it takes that kind of an event in your life to realize, oh, this has been within me all along.
Yeah.
I am this shining bright light inside. And I just have to remember it. For me, I think that's part of why I started to write about gratitude, because I didn't want to lose sight of it. I always described my initial journey as God shot a flare, because it was the 4th of July and I was driving to the lake on a rainy night and the fireworks were going off on the sides of the highway the night that Stephen passed. And so I said, it was like God shot a flare into the night sky of my life, and I had to write everything down really quickly before the flare went out. Because once you move past that kind of traumatic piece of suffering or loss, you can fall back into those old patterns, right? You have to make an intentional practice to stay in this mindset.
Well, this is interesting, because we also had a conversation before we came on the air about you coming to my retreat that I held, a 4-day retreat last summer in Boone, North Carolina, because you now at that time lived in North Carolina. Now you're in South Carolina, but it was nearby. I was so honored that you came, because, and I was surprised that you came to my retreat, because I figured, you know, you have this big following, you've written these books on grief, and I thought, that's really cool that she's taking the time out to do this. But you came up to me and you said it actually was transformational. And I'd love if you share with everybody why that was.
So a couple of years prior to that retreat, I had a torn Achilles, and then I ended up herniating 3 discs in my back. And I was in a ton of pain, and it took me a long time to kind of work my way back to health. And I didn't feel like I was ever going to come back to my work. I wasn't posting on Jolt. I wasn't writing.
For how long?
I would say almost 2 years.
Oh, wow. Didn't realize that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I had the journal in the works when I was injured, and then I just shelved it, and I didn't think I was ever going to come back to it. And then I was starting to feel better, you know, really working on my health. And I saw the, you know, I follow you. And so I saw that you were having this retreat, and, I said, I think I want to go to that. And my husband and I chatted about it. And I said, I think this is a good way for me to step back in and just kind of, and my intention was to go and just to kind of drink in, you know, the beautiful things that you talk about, and to be around people who are like-minded.
So important.
And to be in nature. I love the mountains. And so just to be there, I thought was going to be, you know, a good thing for me as well. But I didn't know how deeply it was going to affect me. There was an exercise that you did where we had to kind of line up parallel to each other and say, I see you. I see you. And we would hold our hands like this and say, I see you. And then we would move to the next person. And it was interesting for me making eye contact.
Yeah.
As I went through it, that some people were comfortable and some people were not, and that I was feeling comfortable, but I was recognizing that 6 months before that, I would have been looking at the floor. I wouldn't have been making eye contact with people because I didn't want to be seen.
Oh, wow.
Because I wasn't feeling my best, you know?
I do know. Yeah.
And then there's just some things that, one thing in particular, you were talking about connecting, feeling connected and feeling disconnected. And I was thinking about it, and you asked us to kind of close our eyes and meditate about what it feels like to feel connected and disconnected. And I'm probably not describing this in the best way.
It's fine.
And immediately it came to my mind, a dream I had shortly after Stephen died, and he was a hockey goalie. And he was skating around the ice by his crease, doing his warm-ups, and goalies are very superstitious, so they have all these different things, tapping the post 3 times and all this stuff, right? And he skated over to where I was standing at the boards, and he was talking to me through the plexiglass, and I was like, I can't hear you. I can't hear you. And I woke up, and I was just devastated because I couldn't hear what he was trying to tell me. And when you were asking about feeling connected and disconnected, that dream immediately came to my mind. And I could hear Stephen saying, all you have to do is remove the glass, Mom.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Wow.
That's all you have to do. It's, you know, the glass is only there because you think it is. Just get rid of the glass. And I felt, I don't want to cry here on video,
crying is good.
I forgot to take tissues with me. But I felt like, okay, I'm ready to do this now. I'm ready to step back in. And I just felt so grateful to you and actually to everybody that I met there as well. Beautiful souls I met that weekend who I'm still in touch with.
Nice. But you know what's beautiful to me is I have a retreat coming up this summer, and I was guided today to make a slide to share it. And I said to my guides, I never share things like this in the middle of my show. I don't like doing commercials. I don't like pushing my things, but they said, have it ready. And this is just the perfect lead-in. So if you don't mind, I am going to share that the retreat this year is actually going to be on a cruise ship. I was asked to do an Awakened Way Alaska cruise where I get, 2 hours a day on a 7-day cruise, or is it 8-day cruise? Let me see, 14 hours of retreat time in the most spectacular scenery I can imagine. So anybody that would like to have the kind of experience that Kelly describes here, check out the little highlighted events at the top of my homepage, click the link to the Alaska cruise, and just check in your heart if that sounds like something you'd like to join us on. We have plenty of room now because we brought in more berths, and I know it's going to be a bucket list item for a lot of people, and also very healing, very fun, we're just going to have a great time. In fact, you said you might even be coming with us.
I am hoping. We are working on our dates. I mean, it's, I've always wanted to do the Alaska cruise anyway as a bucket list, and just to be there with you. Whew, that would be such a bonus.
I'm excited to be there with everybody who's coming. You were there at Boone. Nobody wanted to leave. Remember that final thing where we were all singing and holding our hands and people are crying, and it sounds sappy, but it was sacred.
Absolutely. Oh, it was beautiful. And I remember saying to my husband after it was all over, I said, so I have to get a gong because you did that beautiful exercise.
I brought my gongs with me. And the first thing when we agreed to do this cruise, I said, I don't think I could take my gongs, darn. But we have plenty of other activities and meditations. So you're back. And so how did things change for you then? You just got back in the swing of things? You finished the journal. I mean, that's huge.
I finished the journal. Documents, projects that I had. I have a number of projects that I work on at the same time. It's just kind of the way my brain works. All of a sudden, I'm opening these documents and I'm writing and I'm posting on Jolt again and I'm connecting with people, and I'm not feeling like I have to retreat and stay in the shadows and just,
what I'm sensing now is that downtime for you was perfect, and it was that fallow ground time for you to birth something new. So it's not, I hope you're not beating yourself up for taking a little hiatus.
I actually think it had to happen.
Yeah.
I do.
And we want to give permission to everybody else to have those times when you're not productive and you're just laying low and pampering yourself and doing what needs to be done at this human level.
Right?
Yeah. Cycles.
I think too, one of the things I earlier on in my injury, I beat myself up. I was like, you could find things to be grateful for when Stephen died and you're here wallowing in self-pity. What is wrong with you, Kelly? Like, I would think to myself, you know, at the beginning. Yeah. And now looking back on it, I needed to sit in that space and I needed to just kind of physically heal myself, but also revisit some of the things that maybe emotionally I needed to do a little more work on before I stepped back in. So everything happens as it should.
I'm feeling, I talked about feeling Stephen before we started. I can sense it now. He's doing this motion like he gave you the little push to go on the retreat. Seriously.
Is it I believe it. Yeah. I believe that.
Like we're ready. He's a team member with you, like ready to do this together, Mom.
Yes, he is.
He's showing me a piece of cake right now. Is there a family birthday right around now?
Brady's birthday, my husband's birthday was last month. So probably.
That's too far away. Something closer. It's not a birthday cake. It's normal. It's like a piece of chocolate cake. I don't know why. Okay. That might make sense.
He knows my taste.
So what is your day like? What are your days like now regarding this work that you do? That I'm sure is not like work.
It doesn't feel like work now. I'm excited to sit down and do it. I've actually, in the way that I've structured things this time around, I have mapped out how I take care of myself as well.
How is that?
Just in terms of
everybody,
just in terms of, setting some boundaries, some emotional boundaries that for myself, just so that I can, and that doesn't mean that I don't want to hear from people, because I love getting emails from people who, and connecting with people, but giving myself time to replenish when I feel kind of depleted, or, you know, working with people with emotions and grief, it can be difficult.
It is.
And especially when, I don't know, I guess my heart is really in it. I really feel people's pain. And so I've set up some touch points for myself to kind of keep myself grounded and to take care of my emotional and physical health.
Did you find for me touch point? I hear that and I don't really know what it is. I can figure it out from the context here, but what's a touch point?
So throughout the day, I have a planner. a paper planner. I know. No. Okay, I'm a dinosaur, but but I love the physical writing with a pen. And so in my planner, I actually plan out things in my day that are good for me.
Oh, nice.
I always make sure that the beginning of my day that I start with gratitude. And when I wasn't feeling well, I wasn't really looking for my little things.
Wow.
Not every day. I mean, I would some days I'd say, Kelly, you know, get it together, girl, you know, get back on the train. But now that's very intentional at the beginning and at the end of my day.
Do you actually write it out every time?
I do. Yeah.
I think that's powerful instead of just a fleeting thought.
It makes it real. When you write it, when you physically write it, it makes that real. And then there's also that point that I made earlier. You can look back to it when you're having a tough day. I've really recommitted to meditating.
Oh, and huge.
That has been incredible for me.
And I put in a plug here because it's such a key part of anybody's healing. If any of you who said, I don't have time for meditation, check out my YouTube video, No More Meditation Excuses, and try my 3-minute sip of the divine, because I know Kelly will agree with me. You only need 3 minutes a day. So It's so healing. Tell us how healing it is, what it's done for you.
Well, it just, it quiets my mind. And it connects me to that inner light that we talked about earlier, but it also connects me to Stephen. It connects me to God. I just feel like, and honestly, I have to give you credit, because that 3-minute sip of the divine is why I recommitted to meditating after the retreat. It was you.
Oh, wow.
So it just really, it's like a grounding for me. And then I open my eyes and I'm like, okay, so I've set the tone now for how I'm going to live this day.
Grounding to me means you get centered instead of being like this all the time, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it, you know, it's a very complicated world that we're living in, and you can become very reactive to everything. And meditation allows you to kind of step away from all of that and see your place in things, you know?
If we didn't have these tools, my team and I have a beautiful team of helpers that help me do this work. We say all the time, what did we do before we had tools? And meditation's number one. We were talking earlier, Kelly, that my dog went absolutely berserk when somebody came to the door. It was so loud, so jarring, so outrageous that I flew off the handle and yelled at the dog. And that made me go out of balance. And we agreed it's necessary sometimes. And he understood, oop, shouldn't do that. But then I had to get myself centered, especially before this show. And you just have tools. I did the 3-minute meditation myself and just felt light flushing out that energy that I brought on myself. You know, we do it for ourselves. These tools are so important, and they're available for all of us.
Yeah, that's so true. And it doesn't, you know, you don't need to make an investment. You don't need to do, it's just, meditation is just something that you can take everywhere with you. Yeah. And it just takes a few moments of your day. And I keep, one of the things I kept reminding myself of when I was getting back into practice, you are deserving this, you are worthy of this. Sometimes that we just, you know, we have to push on, and we have to remind ourselves we deserve to feel that peace in our hearts, and so make time for that practice.
Yeah, unfortunately, you're breaking up on some very important points that you're making here, Kelly. You went a little fuzzy. Let me see. Are you still with me there? Say something, would you?
I am here.
Okay, there you go. Would you repeat those last points in case it's breaking up for other people, not just me?
Just about the meditation now. You have to feel like you deserve it. That's one of the things I wanted to really remind myself of, that you are deserving of this. You are worthy And it's important for you to do this.
Yeah. Okay. This is one thing that most people struggle with, feeling unworthy, but you are deserving of this peace. I love that. Mm-hmm. Okay. What is the final piece of final insight or piece of guidance or anything you'd like to leave people with today?
I mean, I think that you already have everything that you need within you. You just have to make that choice. And that, your fork can have been different than mine or yours. But it's that same fork in the road where you have this opportunity to make the choice of what kind of life you want to live. And especially when you're dealing with physical loss of a loved one, I always ask myself, what would Stephen want for me? What would Stephen want? My sister passed in the spring, and she was a joyful, amazing human being. And I think about it daily, like as she was, getting ready to say goodbye at the end of her life, that she was showing us all how to live. And we can all do that. We all have the power to choose to live life that way with our open, broken hearts.
Beautiful. You have just a soft, gentle energy that's so soothing. And I hope that people will check out your website and get on board with the Just One Little Thing practice. It's so healing. And pick up her journal, The Path. It's absolutely one of the most lovely books that I've seen in this format. It's a unique format, and I know it will be healing. I love that it keeps you on the path because you come back to it regularly, and that's a beautiful thing. Well, Kelly, thank you so much for joining us.
And thank you.
Maybe I'll see you on the Alaska cruise.
Oh, I hope so.
That would be awesome. All right. Well, everybody, thank you for joining me. If you don't know about my Awakened Way app, I'd love you to check it out on iTunes. What is it? I am so technologically behind right now. Wherever you get apps for your phone, it's available on both of them. Look up Awakened Way. I'm getting daily feedback from people about how helpful it is. One more tool for your toolkit for dealing with life's adversity, daily messages of inspiration. It's 100% free, no strings attached. We thank you for joining us today. Have more exciting guests coming up, and it's time for me to do one of my Q&A sessions and bring in my girls, Bev and Lynette, and ask my guide, Sanaya, to help me answer questions from all of you. So I hope you've clicked the bell to subscribe. And you can sign up on my website to receive notifications 2 days before we do any of these broadcasts. We send out an email only to those who specially ask to be notified. I love you all. Thank you again for joining us, and have a great rest of the week. And I don't know why my outro's not playing. Isn't that funny? Well, goodness. That's the first time my outro hasn't played, so we're just going to have to say bye-bye for now. Bye, everybody.
Hey, it's Radley Valentine. Join me for a brand new way of connecting with your angels on my new podcast, The Angel Tarot Show. Each week, you'll meet your angelic guides and guardians and find new ways to unlock unconditional love, tune into your intuitive abilities, and create the joy-filled life that, well, you've always wanted. Plus, you'll get a useful and timely energetic weather report bringing you guidance for the coming week. Tap into the healing, hope, and guidance that's all around you on the Angel Tarot Show, exclusively on mindbodyspirit.fm.